Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3.
An Odyssey station.
We're here on Danny and Dusty on a Monday afternoon. We're listening on 1080 AM, watching on YouTube, youtube.com/1080AMFan or twitch.tv/1080AMFan. We appreciate you. We love you. We love you so much that we're going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to win more stuff today. Dun, 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 dun.
What?
Danny and Dusty have a chance for you to win tickets to Weird Al.
Yes.
August 13th, 2025.
Wait.
Excuse me, August 14th, 2025.
What?
Straight out of Linwood.
2025. Reminder, you can listen all week during the 2 o'clock hour. All you need to do is text into the Fan. And I'm looking for my magic keyword here.
Weird.
Thank you.
It is weird.
It was literally weird. Spell weird the correct way. It matters. To 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line for your chance to win Weird Al tickets now. Right now, with the code word WEIRD to 503-864-6326 to win Weird Al tickets August 14th, 2025, courtesy of Monkey Presents. You can visit 1080thefan.com for complete details.
Weird Al's great. Weird Al is
still going.
The parody songs, still pumping them out. The parody song game, he was an innovator. Think of... like if Weird Al was coming up in like TikTok or Twitter
right now,
like in the social media
era, it would have just dominated.
Yeah.
Like if nobody had done it before him.
Yes. Yeah. And he like set a trend. Just take catchy, popular song. Boom. Mm-hmm. I'm going. Well, just like Russ did with that open with 9 to 5.
It's perfect.
Just make it your own. I mean, I love me some Weird Al Yankovic.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
White and Nerdy is a great song from my childhood.
It's wholesome.
Yeah.
We got plenty of NFL to dive into here.
Yeah, dude. We haven't talked to any NFL. Obviously, Oregon, Ohio State was a big one.
Yes.
That was a kind of a day. Big game.
It was, I mean, we haven't even talked about Ole Miss, LSU, or any of the other Texas, Oklahoma, which at the Red River beatdown. Forget a showdown. But on the NFL side of things, Joe Fisher and all Cowboys fans, I'll give you 3 seconds to turn off your radios. Okay, now that Cowboys fans aren't listening, why do you care about football right now?
Oh.
You got embarrassed again. They ran a hook and ladder to their guard just to stunt on
you. He's a tackle. At least he's a tackle.
It was Panay, who's a tackle. Yes.
Yeah, he is a tackle.
They split out a tight end. And refs, grow up. Stop throwing flags on that.
Well, why?
It's fantastic. Let it go.
Yeah, it is the ineligible man downfield. It is really hard to do. We actually used to run that play because we had a really fast tackle out of Banks. And we would actually have, if you have the speed, you can do it and not be an illegal man downfield. But it's just really hard for an official to see because of the fact that it's like no human that size should be able to run that.
Run and turn that quick.
Yeah, and he can. He can. Yeah. It was to have it be on Jerry Jones' birthday.
Mm. Happy birthday.
The largest home loss in the Cowboys under his ownership since 1989. You hate to see it. And this is it's an indictment on everything about where the Dallas Cowboys are at right now.
I mean, whether it be Dak and the money you gave him, Ezekiel Elliott and the boomerang that he was and the money that you gave him. CeeDee Lamb was at least mildly good, but you should not have gave him that money.
This is fundamentally how the Detroit Lions have built their roster through the draft, paid their guys, staggering their money. That is how you do it with and I'm not going to call Jared Goff a replacement level quarterback. He's above that.
Yeah.
As Dak is too, right?
Yes.
Dak is not a replacement level quarterback.
He's an above average quarterback.
He's good.
He's not $60 million good.
But you know what? This is how you do it with young talent, building through the draft, making your savvy decisions, and having your books clean and right in the ability to do it. Right now, the Ford family isn't saying what Jerry Jones has said about the ability to trade or sign guys in free agency. We're broke.
We're not crying poor.
No. And the Ford family should never cry poor.
But they have.
But they have been very stingy with their money.
Yes.
Now they're in a winning window.
It turns out it prints money when you win.
No doubt about it. That was an ass-kicking.
Unfortunately.
Galactic proportions.
And it was an ass-kicking of epic proportions on every level. Unfortunately for the Detroit Lions, they have lost their best player.
Aiden Hutchinson. I avoided that like the plague. I got to the station today, and I opened up Twitter,
and
what did I see? The thing I'd been wanting to avoid, and my one concern when I rolled in here today is like, I know what Danny's going to do. He's gonna be like, oh, you haven't seen this? I'm be like, I don't want to see it, and you would bring it up on my screen, mm-hmm. because you're an animal like that.
I do like to see it.
You do? I like to see that. And so
just once. I'm not going to go back to it, but like...
I wanted to ride through this show mm-hmm. with you explaining to the people what happened to Aiden Hutchinson, because I just didn't want... I don't like that.
For those that have not seen it, you can seek it out if you want to. It's out there. He gets caught up in a kind of a diving grab. And when he does that, he just kind of goes airborne with his leg. And the outside of his leg hits somebody else's leg. And if you... somebody who has been through this...
It's Anderson Silva kicking.
Yes. It's the same thing. It's getting leg checked.
It was Harry Potter where his bones turned to mush in his arm.
His leg literally folds.
It goes around... Wraps around the leg of his...
Which it means it's completely fractured. And I don't... It didn't look like there was blood right away, but I imagine it's compound. Mm. And it is a feeling unlike anything that you know. And even now talking about it, if you hear me kind of stopping, it's because when you do it, it's a sound in your brain that you can never mm-hmm. unhear.
Yep.
It sounds like when you hear a massive old growth tree snap in the forest and it's quiet out, it is a crack that is almost reminiscent of a gunshot, and it resonates inside your skull.
Gross.
And it is something you will never, ever, 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 ever forget.
Yeah, he's done for the year.
He's done. They're saying his recovery time is 4 to 6 months. No, it's not. His recovery time is 10 to 12 months.
And the magnitude of the injury, if you're just wondering, he had surgery last night.
Yes. They did.
Like, they weren't like, no, we're going to wait. No.
No. You have to. Because
boom. Done.
That's kind of what makes me believe it's a compound fracture, because you can't wait. Because it's an open wound that you have to set and get to immediately.
I hate that for the Lions. I hate that for Aiden Hutchinson. That's awful. Mm-hmm. Man, that is awful. And they had a butt kicking of a lifetime. Now you're looking at...
I mean, they're a Super Bowl contender with him. Legitimately. Full stop.
Yeah.
Without him? Look, they're a really good team, but he is so, so important to what they do defensively.
And this is, again, having your books clean, having mm-hmm. your books right. They still have $33 million in cap space this year.
They can go make a move.
They can go and try to make a move from a team that's desperate and a team that's trying to unload. And look, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know who that is. But
you mentioned
one. Adam Schefter. This was like when Schefter goes on McAfee.
It's tossing out ideas.
It's a little bit different than Newsbreaker on SportsCenter. But, you know, they threw out the Max Crosby thing in Vegas where you'd have to give up a king's ransom. But if you feel that the window is open, you're going to try everything in your power to try and get anybody. You're not going to get a Max Crosby type, because that would be malfeasance on the Raiders' part.
The only way the Raiders do that is if they get literally the Herschel Walker trade.
But if you find a team that is in the dregs right now, you know, this is like, you know, last year you would have called the Panthers and said Brian Burns.
I would say, why don't you call the Giants if Ryan's Brian Burns now? Or do you...
They look so good in Sunday. Well, actually, they held Cincy to 17 points. But...
Yeah. The other side of this, I was saying, what about Hassan Reddick? But...
You'd have to pay him. And you don't... And then, look, the thing about the Lions is that it would have to be a guy who's expiring, because You may have that cap room now. It's going away because you're having to pay everybody.
Goff deal,
Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Aiden Hutchinson. You're going to have to have the books clean for him when he does eventually come back, and you hope that he does come back 100%, right? But they've got a lot of money that is going to be going out, and they've got to be really smart about what they do and the moves that they make. And I think that with that injury and how it affects them this year, I mean, I've not been pulling for a team like this that I don't like or I'm not a fan of in any sport.
No.
Like the Lions is, talk about a feel good story, man. It is an unbelievable story.
Unless you're an NFC North fan, you can't like not acknowledge the Lions. Be like, they're fun.
Yeah.
They're good.
Bags over their heads into an empty stadium into a legitimate Super Bowl contender with a likable head coach and a likable roster.
Likable roster,
Yeah, damn, so, that sucks.
You want to come back and talk some more NFL?
Yeah, let's do it.
There's a lot more NFL talk, including your Patriots. Drake May made his debut.
Dude, he's going to be so good. They didn't kill him.
Yeah, he didn't die.
He didn't die.
I think it's a fair place to go next is the rookie quarterbacks all getting it together. Yeah. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Dive back into some more NFL from the weekend. We'll get back to college and particularly the Ducks win over the Ohio State Buckeyes down in Autzen Stadium this weekend. But the rookie quarterback class is really starting to come together. Drake May made his debut for the Patriots. I should say he made his starting debut for the Patriots. Did some things. Had a truckload of turnovers, but he also had some high points.
Yeah, you're going to get truckloads of turnovers when, I don't know, your offensive line is as bad as they really are. And
he did get sacked four times. And how many times did he get hit?
Yeah, well.
Eight. So he got smacked around back there.
Dems the breaks. One of the interceptions, it was definitely one of those freak kind of plays. Mm-hmm. Where ball gets batted, it gets bounced up in the air, you know, DB comes down with it. I'm not going to crush the kid. I thought he played really well for being his first start, and you could see...
Against the Texans of all teams.
Yeah, going through his progressions, made some really good throws. His first touchdown pass, that was a dot.
No, the arm talent is certainly there, and the processing is catching up.
He pushed the ball downfield. I don't know. We'll see. They need their team to be better. But they put up a fight against the Houston Texans, which that's what I'm looking for, right? You put up a fight, continue to lose, treat the season like the Blazers. I think what everybody else, though, all the other rookie quarterbacks, they continue to be impressive. Bo Nix, the first half of that game against the Chargers, not a thing of beauty.
One of the worst halves of quarterback play I've ever seen.
But how you come on down the stretch.
16 points the fourth quarter.
16 in the fourth. And look, I mean, the last one, you got it, made it a one possession game with a minute to go. Mm-hmm. You're not getting an onside kick in the NFL. You can't play, you know, like Oregon did with their onside kick where you find the stooge.
Was that intentional?
Yeah, that was. That's why they took the 15-yard. They either had the opportunity to go half the distance to the goal line on the try, which at the 1.5 yard line, you would have been able to put your offense out on the field, keep your offense out there, go for two. But they took the penalty knowing at the 50-yard line, an onside kick, not as punitive because it has to go 10 yards, right? So you're getting the ball. You're giving them the ball at the 40.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not giving up as much field position in that regard. They said they had that look. They liked that look. Kick it as hard as you can at the middle guy and hope it bounces off him and he can't make a play on it. And Sapialaga and was it Metters, I think?
Because, I mean, look, you can have your hands team out there. You're not catching
out,
that. You're not catching that off the tee like that.
It was a laser.
I mean, he hammered that at
him. Reminded me was it the water boy? Where the kicker's like, where's he at?
Finds
the guy's the like, there he is.
Yeah, 100%.
But that was something they said that they saw. And look, you talk about...
It's a nice little look. I mean, it's one thing to say you want to be able to do X, Y, and Z. It's another thing to execute them.
Yeah, well, you create your own luck, right? And that was one of those points in Oregon's game. But I digress.
Yes, back to the NFL.
Back in the NFL, they weren't going to get an onside kick. They made it respectable. They made it close. That was a Chargers team that was backed into a corner, and they played like it.
Yes.
They came out firing, and they knew they needed a win to keep pace with anybody else in that division, and they came out, and they looked really good. And then Jim Harbaugh leaves with a heart arrhythmia.
Yeah, that was – did you see John? He, in his press conference, left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's, he like as soon as Jim went to the tent,
yeah,
John got word, and they rushed him out.
That's
of
the third time that it's happened with Harbaugh.
2-0.
2-0, when now 3-0?
No, he claimed 2-0 in his presser. That's how he opened his presser, 2-0 in heart arrhythmia games.
Okay. Well, it happened to him at Stanford 2012. Is that the other time it happened?
He just said 2-0.
Yeah. That
That's
is
scary.
Very scary.
I mean, when your head coach just leaves the field after going to the tent.
Or
it's like,
would have been the Niners in 2012.
Yeah.
It's a scary deal, man. And Harbaugh, in the true Harbaugh fashion,
he's fine.
My heart would have to stop for me not to coach.
There you go.
You know? He probably took like a 9-volt battery, licked it, and tried to stick it to his chest to see if that would get
Iron
it back
Man.
In. Just be like, I think I got it. Yeah, I think I got it. But that's a scary situation.
For sure.
Like, I'm actually shocked we don't see that more with coaches, with how high strung they are and
how many
the
zins
pressure.
They go through.
How fat they are.
Andy Reid's never had this happen.
Look, it's not a conducive.
Not a high stress guy.
I say coaching is not conducive for a healthy lifestyle.
No. But then you were mentioning the rookie quarterback. So Caleb Williams did it again, man.
Yeah, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league production wise for the last 4 weeks. And Jaden Daniels is right there alongside him. I thought Jaden looked better than Lamar. I mean, the two touchdowns.
I don't know.
The two touchdown throws that Jaden threw were incredible. The second one that got them within one score, he pumps, holds, and just throws it to a spot.
Yeah.
That only McLaurin could get to. It was incredible.
Lamar did it with his arm and his legs. And that Ravens team, their defense is not.
They are not good.
Surviving right now.
No.
And they are not very good. But.
Derrick Henry is.
They're working and living off of. I remember at the beginning of the year, I was like, it looks like they're fighting, playing a style conducive to Derrick Henry being your running back. They've adapted to that. And Lamar Jackson has adapted to that. And he was, despite an interception, still wildly efficient in that game. He throws for over 300 yards, and the ability to run the ball with Derrick Henry, keeping defenses so honest.
I mean, he
it opens.
Game.
Everything up for Lamar Jackson with his arm and his legs. And Lamar is going to thrive. And this is how they have to win. If your defense isn't good, you have to feed Derrick Henry the ball 24 times.
He's almost
on pace for a 2,000-yard season.
He's been a monster. And on the opposite side for Washington, not having Brian Robinson, I think it's the difference in that game.
Sure.
I think if they had Brian Robinson, they'd probably win that game because they just couldn't. They were too one-dimensional. But even with that, Jaden Daniels has been incredible.
He has
been incredible.
I mean, I think that if Washington can run the ball, Lamar probably throws the ball more and probably throws for 400 yards. Mm. I mean, he went 20 of 26 for 323.
He's never wrong. He was good.
And they were feeding Derrick Henry 24 times. I mean,
the final six or eight of those carries came in the icing of the game, and he just
exactly.
Oh God, he was a monster.
That is even more to Lamar Jackson threw the ball 26 times for 323. He was a dude, and the Ravens needed that win too because with the way that and look, it wasn't like they were sitting in a 1-4 situation and needing a win desperately. They needed to rectify, all right, we're not going to have our defense lose us a game. We're not going to have a defense put us in a situation like we were in last week against Cincinnati, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you lose you win a 40-38 game that the Bengals are going, how Joe Burrow has to play an absolutely perfect game.
Mm-hmm. And which he didn't play this week.
No, but Jaden Daniels damn near played a perfect game, and the Ravens found a way to win. So that's a big game for Baltimore to kind of calm some of their fears because they got some demons to exercise on the defensive side.
And the Bengals, they did get their second win of the season.
Hey!
In ugly fashion against the New York Giants, but they did get it done.
How about Joe Burrow? 3rd and 18, 47-yard touchdown run? What?
And dual threat.
Make no mistake about it. I think there's a direct correlation to the Bleach job is officially grown out now.
Yeah.
He just has like little highlights.
It sapped his powers.
Yeah. He's getting his swagger back, and it has everything to do with the Bleach job. He's no longer looking like Eminem out there.
Justin Fields, speaking of running, was a very good running back for the Steelers this weekend against the Raiders. That definitely wasn't a great quarterback.
They won.
They did win. They did win.
I mean, it doesn't matter. No. Like, he's playing quarterback well because they're winning games.
Sure.
They're 4-2 right now.
They are what they thought they would be, in that they're not a good offense. They're a really good defense, and they just execute.
They're keeping pace with
everybody.
Steelers
minus -3 was probably the easiest bet of the weekend. That was
Texans.
It's stupid line.
Texans minus -7.
Yeah. I mean, that was up there,
dude,
too.
Dude, I took the over on that.
Yeah.
Remember what I said on Thursday?
Didn't the over-under was... By itself?
Yeah. On Thursday, I said the over-under is 38. The Texans will score that on their own. They did.
They did. 41.
62 was the total in that game.
Also, Chargers and Broncos. Overhit. 35.5, baby.
There you go. There you go.
So, just kind of cleaning up through the rest of the NFL. The Eagles scrape by the Browns in. By God, did they need it? And then you had Nick Sirianni taunting Eagles fans after that game. Which
he is trying to get fired.
Look, I'm telling you, man, there's a reason why I'm still riding with the Commanders. I am riding with the Commanders to win that division.
Yeah, I do not feel like my whole hesitation is if Philly can grind out some wins and get momentum back and right the ship, they could be good. I watched Nick Sirianni yesterday, and I said, "There's no coming back from this.
No.
They are waiting for him to lose a game. In the next loss, they will can his ass. If they lose next week in New York to the Giants, they're going to fire him.
It's the opposite of quiet quitting. He's like loudly quitting.
And then to bring your kids into the post game press conference, like
little shields.
It's not like cute fun. That was a shield." Literally, he had one sitting on his lap, and he had one on either side. They were like Operation Human Shield to Nick Sirianni, and that's going to not go over well with Philly.
No.
The Philly fans have turned on
him. They can see through it.
They're chanting Fire Nick at halftime. It was 10-10.
I mean, to be fair, it is the Browns, and Deshaun Watson has dude, slotted himself in as the worst quarterback of this millennium.
The drunkest game of the weekend, though, was Bucks Saints.
Holy crap. Baker, touchdown maker.
Scoring is back. Told y'all, offenses will adjust.
Took a little while.
They will adjust. We saw multiple teams put up 40-plus, saw scoring. It really started on Thursday night with the Niners putting up 36.
It's 280 yards rushing. Is that good?
Yeah, that is good. But how about it being 17-0? And then the Saints take a 27-24 lead into halftime.
How do you score 34 points in a quarter?
But they did. That's the only quarter that the Saints scored in. They lost 51-27 and were down 17-0 after one, led at halftime 27-24.
And then the Bucs scored 27 unanswered. It's such
ridiculous.
An insane game. Insane game.
Absolutely bonkers. That game.
You almost had an NFL team throw for and rush for 300 yards.
Yeah, and then Sunday Night Football brought us back to scoring not
that game
mandatory.
That sucked.
Yeah, it did. It did. Monday night, I think, is going to be pretty good, though.
It could be.
Jets.
We'll get to see the Hackettless Jets offense.
Yeah.
So.
I wonder where he is.
I mean, he's still there, isn't he?
Well, I know, but do they put him in the box or do they put him on the field?
Sideline, yeah.
Just to, like, talk to Aaron when he comes off. Does he just sit on that heated bench all game
do
long?
Do they take his headset?
What does he do if he doesn't call games?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Do you put him up in the box just so he's out of sight, out of mind to everybody
but
there?
Does he get a... Do they take away the headset?
No, you know, you give him the headset.
Is it just a headset with one that doesn't have a microphone?
Yeah.
He just gets to hear?
No. We don't need your input, Nathaniel.
That's got to be so awkward.
That would be tough.
I mean, they're basically asking him to quit.
Yeah, well, he's Aaron Rodgers' friend now. Yeah,
which, great money if you can get it.
Great money.
I'd like to be his friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it pays well.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
Pays really well. So, all right. That's our NFL wrap-up. When we come back, we will dive back into more college football, particularly the Ducks and the Bucks and the takeaways coming out of that game. But first, here's Big Will Betts with the Sports Center Update. Time to revisit and dive into the Oregon Ducks. victory over Ohio State this weekend, number 3 over number 2.
Now, huge win.
Huge win, as we talked about to kick off today's show. It's the biggest win in Autzen history. It's the best regular season win. It's the impact of it is going to be felt throughout the season because, I said this right after the game, winning this game allows the Oregon Ducks to have a shot at a top 2 spot in the college football playoff. That is what they have accomplished with that win.
Well, I mean, obviously being a conference champion is going to be the determining factor in that because that's where your top 4 seeds are going to come from. But I think in getting to the Big Ten championship game, this was a huge marker. And just getting into the field, I think it was a huge marker because, look, it does not eliminate Ohio State by any stretch of the imagination.
God, no.
But your margin for error gets thin. And I think the way the game played out, both of these teams are lining themselves up to be in a really good spot. You look at Oregon, the remainder of their schedule, like this week is, I know, Purdue, and you look at their record, you look at how they've played, they're 0-3 in conference play, 1-5, but a short week after a monumental win where all the emotions are there, and then you have to go on the road, you lose one extra day in that preparation because Thursday is a travel day, which takes a little bit out of what you're able to do as far as, you know, meetings, preparation, things of that nature. But, you know, it is a very winnable game no matter what. You just cannot have the letdown. And right now, Purdue has even announced that they're going to be on their backup quarterback again this week, and Hudson Card will not be starting in this game. They're going to be turning to Ryan Brown, who, I don't know if anybody noticed, Purdue put up 49 points on Illinois this past weekend, ended up losing 50-49 to the Fighting Illini. But with Oregon, you look down the schedule and you say, all right, Illinois, Michigan, Maryland, that trip to Wisconsin is going to be tough. And then Washington to end the year. You have set yourself up for, all right, we have a clear advantage right now in a loaded top of the Big Ten where Indiana is unbeaten in conference play. Penn State, unbeaten in conference play. Illinois, Ohio State, Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin, they all have one conference loss. And that is where you sit and you go, you have, winning football is really hard. Going 12-0, really damn hard to do. I mean, it is really difficult to do.
Particularly in this day and age, I think there's arguments you can make that it's harder now, and I think you can make arguments that it's harder in the early 2000s because it's the dilution of talent versus the concentration of talent.
Yeah.
Like if you
well, in a loss then was an eliminator.
Yes.
This isn't an eliminator.
Not anymore.
That's why it was such a big game, a big win, is that you're looking at a 12 team playoff. And I thought one of the greatest things that tells you exactly what people thought of that game is Ohio State dropped 2 spots. They dropped 2 spots. They're still ahead of unbeaten Miami.
Yeah.
Who's sitting there like, we don't have a loss. No. It's like, well, you haven't played anybody nearly as good as Oregon has Miami, and you have flirted with disaster. Ohio State's been dominant up until that game
Saturday
night.
And they lost by 1 on the road, which, again, you take a look at home versus road, home teams, it's worth 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And in the eyes of, I think, of voters, you put these guys on a neutral field, it's going to come down to one possession.
It's going to be a damn good game. Yeah. And look, as far as like a potential rematch with Ohio State, like there's a lot of work for both of these teams to do. And there's no guarantee that Ohio State's going to go perfect in the stretch that they have. Just like Oregon, there's no guarantee they're going to go perfect in that stretch. Because Ohio State has got Penn State remaining, Indiana remaining, and then the rivalry game with Michigan, no matter how bad we think Michigan is. Both of these teams still have plenty of challenges left on their schedule. That's why the meaning of that game, and this is why anybody says that the regular season doesn't mean anything anymore, it means a whole hell of a lot.
Oh, God, yes.
And one loss may determine, you know, who goes to Indianapolis and who is staying at home. This game, the magnitude of it, the way that it played out, the energy, the hype around that game, to have it go the way that it did was perfect for the Oregon Ducks.
And if you're a Duck fan, this is going to forever be a where were you when.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
It was a monumental game with all the stakes, all the pomp and circumstance, college game day, everyone's eyes on the game. the idea that you, if you're, especially if you're a current Oregon student, you get to rush the field in those situations. How many times have you ever seen the field rushed at Autzen?
It's been few and far between. I mean, the most recent one would be the win over Washington, where Kayvon Thibodeau was one of the guys who rushed the field, and he even said it, like, that was part, that rushing the field, that win over UW, it was kind of what sealed it, that this was a special place for him. And look, make no mistake, the recruiting weekend that they had,
they just
win that game,
they just crushed it.
They knocked it out of the park. I mean,
and there was a couple Ohio State commits that were in the house too.
Yeah, there.
I imagine there aren't going, all of them aren't going to be when it's all said and done.
Yeah, that was it played out about as damn good as you can have it play out. And I think the biggest thing for Oregon and their fan base, it wasn't a fluke.
No.
It was not a fluke win. Did things go against Ohio State? Yeah.
Sure.
But things went against Oregon, and they still found a way to win a game. That's what happens when you have two elite teams playing against each other.
This was not gimmicky Oregon finding a way to beat a giant.
No.
This was giant on giant, and Oregon came out.
Yep.
And that's the difference. All right, coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on college football. We'll get to a couple of the other games because it was Ducks-Bucks was the game of the weekend, but there were some massive, massive games
Friday
in college
night
football.
Friday night was a good one.
Up, down, all over the schedule. And we'll get to the throughout the week to next week's coming up later on this week. Here, Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
You can sleep when you die, right? You get an opportunity to do this. Like the day that we got to have today, like how awesome is Oregon? How awesome is getting to coach at this place? Our fans, our players, and those guys work so dang hard to get moments like this. And again, you might not believe me, but regardless of the result, I was going to be so proud of our guys and how they competed tonight because I know how hard they work, right? And they left, asked them before the game to leave it all on the field, give me everything you got, and they did that tonight.
Dan Lanning following the game against the Ohio State Buckeyes, and I think it's the only soundbite in which he was not actively recruiting.
That was part of the thing about Lanning where he knows when to turn it on.
Yeah.
And there's been plenty of times where he doesn't turn it on, and he is a college football coach. But that switch being able to be flipped is important in the world of college football.
It is.
And you heard him flip that switch several times. You saw the emotion after the game. He's wearing a chain with an O that a fan puts on his neck, celebrating on the field, the bussing with the boys, shoving match, all that stuff. Like, that resonates with recruits. And then during his press conference, right?
If you know any good players, tell them to come here.
Tell them to come to Oregon, right? Doing that in that room at that moment, knowing that Ross Dellinger is in the room of Yahoo Sports,
all the
knowing
national guys
the national reporters, knowing, and the sports information guys, I'm in a hallway right next to that room where I do my post-game interviews, and then they go in and they do
their big
media. They come in and they go, there's so many people in there. You know?
I mean, it's like everyone was there.
They had to turn down some credential requests. That's how big the game was.
You had a couple folks at LSU Ole Miss, but everybody was at the number two versus number three matchup in the country.
Yeah.
That's what was going on.
And to turn it on and, you know, play that, that's another part of that win that, look, I mean, we all know Chip Kelly was a really good football coach. He didn't play that game, right?
No.
Cristobal was football business. He could recruit.
He's leaning more into it now at Miami.
Yeah, but he has a personality and lets that kind of show through him.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the big parts of that weekend in the win that Oregon had that, you know, will resonate down the road, but we're not really thinking about or talking about because of the fact his team went out and they beat Ohio State.
Speaking of emotion and being involved, you had Kenny Dillingham following the Arizona State victory over Utah.
Where was he at?
Oh,
he has a lot of this too.
A lot of ties to the old Oregon factory.
Young coaches that play that up.
They upset Utah, and then he has a post game for the ages.
Wow, you see him every single day. What makes him different?
His mindset. He's got a dog mentality. This team fights, and they fight, and they fight. That's who you need to talk to right now, not me.
Yeah, good luck finding him, though. Coach, what impressed you the most? surprised about your defense tonight.
We stopped the run on in the first half, and we had great red zone. We fought, man. We competed. That's what football's about, competing.
This team beat you 55-3 last year. Ultimately, in a calendar year, what's the difference?
Our work, man. We put in the work. Our kids care. We have kids that care, that do it for each other, and they...
You grew up in this town. You're an alum. When you look around and you see this moment, what's it like for you?
It's kind of crazy. I was one of these guys. I was doing this.
Had to get the mute button in there. Cam Scadabo.
No, he's gone. Yeah. He just is like, I'm out. I was one of these guys, and he went and became one of those guys again. That's awesome.
Cam Scadabo is a college football legend. It's just the kind of guy that he is. I want to talk college football, but I have a little bit of scheduling news. Tomorrow afternoon, we will be joined by back-to-back national champion head coach Danny Hurley of UConn. He will join us in the last hour of tomorrow's show, live following their exhibition game.
Look at that. I wonder what he's going to join us to talk about.
Perhaps one Donovan Klingon.
Oh, okay.
All right. I will say, DC gave me some intel on Hurley to spring on him.
Perfect.
So
like this.
I said, give me something for radio.
I like
he gave me some stuff for not radio, but he gave me some stuff for radio too.
Perfect.
So
Danny Hurley joining us tomorrow. We'll probably have story time with Uncle Jerry tomorrow too, because I'll be down in Eugene. This is going to be a loaded show tomorrow already.
It's going to be fantastic.
Look at this Tuesday.
Yeah, look
shaping
at that.
Up pretty nice.
Not too bad.
All right, up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Monday. We'll see you Tuesday right here on The Fan.
Bye.